Hello, Panther fans. Welcome to another edition of the Hail Podcast pregame edition. This pregame edition is sponsored by Bruce Walters Ford and Faith Pharmacy. Shop local. With all this stuff going on right now, you need to shop local, 100%. Hey,
Doug, listen to those golden pipes. I know. Coming through this new
that
equipment.
Sounded hey, professional.
Man. Hey, professional guy,
professional
man.
Professional right there. That's the money voice right there.
Hey, man. I'm here for the people.
I know. Okay?
I'm here for the people.
Just bringing the hits to the people, right?
This is the pregame edition, hazard edition. This is the second hazard edition of the pregame. Well, man, hazard must feel special.
It's the playoff hazard edition.
Yes, yeah, playoff hazard.
Losers go home.
Yes. I am J.R. Robinson, Pikeville High School class of 2010. Over to the left of me is the owner of the precipice porch, which we're no longer in.
Yeah, we're in now the honeycomb hideout.
We're in the honeycomb hideout. The honeycomb hideout.
We got microphones and mixing boards in here. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, we're freaks with a microphone.
Yeah, man. It's and, awesome. You know, over here, he's also a Hall of Famer. Our Hall of Famer.
Frosty Davis is Jim and JD's Hall
well,
of Famer.
Well, and we're in different eras, too.
And Doug is our Hall of Famer.
There you go.
And also, where he comes out here to center his chi. Yes. Mr. Douglas Powers.
Every Sunday.
Yes.
I center the chi out here.
And then opposite of me, on the opposite side of the table here, is my brother, Heath Robinson, Pikeville High School, class of 1995.
You're going to jinx us.
No. I only do it on Sundays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only do it on Sundays, dude.
Okay.
I love you, bub.
Okay. I love you too, bub. we got to give a big shout out to our, we have a.
Oh, wait, let me introduce him.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not going to talk. He's not allowed to talk. We've got his mouth duct taped shut now.
He's got one of those dog zappers when they run out of the.
Yeah.
We got a shot
hit the button.
maybe that'll make him meaner.
Our unofficial producer.
Yeah.
Mr. Corbin Robinson.
Member of the country crew.
Hey, and also, got to tell you, done a fabulous job. Listen, the guys behind the laptop right now, believe me, people, this is harder than what we're explaining it. There's a lot of stuff that had to be hooked up.
You're doing great, bub.
Computers hooked up, and I mean, it's tough.
We've had to do at least 572 test runs on this thing.
We skipped Thanksgiving just to hook this stuff up.
Yeah, we've been out here since like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah. Socially distanced, as we are now, with masks on. Well, not masks, because we are social distance, but we're outside.
So yes, so happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope everybody had their fill of turkey, ham. I'm a big mac and cheese guy.
You're like going to make me sick if you talk about food.
You got mac and cheese right on you at the house, man.
Oh, I can't wait, dude.
Broccoli
casserole. It's good, too.
All right, well, fine. We got to get this podcast over with, dude.
Patsy Acres puts it on me every year, man. Those deviled eggs. I just have to take a nap afterwards.
Oh, yeah,
that bad.
I'm that way with turkey. I had to go home today and sleep for like 3 hours. It was awesome.
So, guys, moving on to the foosball side of things. We have the Hazard Bulldogs for the second time.
Yeah.
We got a great win last week against Sayre. We recapped that game on the Troy Howell, Isaac McNamee, and Landon Hammock episode, if you want to check that out.
Who wasn't on the show last week?
That was a big question.
Cool show, though.
Yeah,
I think the only one we had more people on would probably be the Panther Palooza.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, where we had like every sport in the school was on our show.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
But, you know, it just feels so good that we're out here with our podcast equipment right now and it's actually working. And, you know, I feel like Joe Rogan right now, you know?
Yeah.
Also, it feels like, look, if it sounds a little different.
JR, have you ever tried DMT?
We're still working out the bugs, so you know, but it's a work in progress.
Yeah, let us know tonight how you think it sounds.
Yeah,
because we're really anxious to hear that.
Anyway. I have no idea what to do with my hands right now. You know, usually I'm just up around, you know, flopping around and everything else, and now I'm just kind of sitting here. So, but this sounds good, so it's good.
And also, yet again, thank you to our sponsors for all this
wonderful stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely, thanks to Bruce Walters and Faith Pharmacy, all those guys, man, for making all this possible. You guys are great.
They really take care of us, and they take care of them boys. Like we gave out our first Player of the Week shirt. first hog of the week shirt. You know, it's pretty cool what we're doing.
That's what it's all about, man, is them kids. And that's why we're doing this for. It ain't for our glory or our benefit. It's to, you know, to highlight and showcase these kids, man. So it's good. And you know, man, I'm smiling. You can't see me, but I'm actually kind of smiling from ear to ear right now. I think we all are.
I know I am.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
This is a long way from my truck.
Yeah,
it started this in my truck.
It's cool to see a passion project kind of come to fruition.
Yeah.
That's cool.
On a similar note, also for people kind of outside of Pikeville to take notice.
Yeah.
Got to give a big shout out to Coach Truck and Coach Boo on Big Things Kentucky. That you can check them out on YouTube. Just type in Big Things Kentucky and check them out. They shouted us out on their show, and I've been in contact with Coach Truck, and you know, good guys. Even though they picked Sayre or Coach Truck picked Sayre to win.
Well, they're more Lexington centered,
yeah,
but they're
yeah.
still, you know, they still talk a little Eastern
Kentucky. Oh, they do a heck of a job. Yeah, they really
also
do.
On those podcasts, they probably want to have a little shock and awe type deal.
Oh, sure, man. Yeah. Well, and it's their coverage area.
Yeah, but, you know, Coach Truck's a Steelers fan, so, you know, I love him.
Yeah.
Here
we
go.
So, yeah. Go Steelers.
Yeah, here we go, Steelers.
There's Jackson Spirit. Really, yeah, and boo for the Ratbirds who decided to cancel.
Yeah, anyway. I think Baltimore and Paintsville, I think they're kind of in cahoots with each other. I think Baltimore
same
canceled.
Strategy.
Baltimore canceled on the Steelers, and they're going to play Letcher Central tomorrow night.
Anyway, let's get to our boys. Round two versus Hazard. This time it's the playoffs. Cool. We got an interview with Coach Mack. You know, he gave us some information.
Coming up at the end of the show.
Yeah. So first I want to go into this so we can just go ahead and get it over with. Mm-hmm. All right. So the RPI. So just to let everybody know, here's how it's going to go from what I understand.
Well, first of all, man, we got to get by Hazard tomorrow. Right?
Yes, we do.
That's not a given because Hazard is on a little bit of a hot streak since they lost to us.
They are. They've got a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. They've got a new quarterback who, you know, the quarterback we faced last time ran the ball really well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is more of a thrower. You're not going to see him scramble a lot. You're not going to see him run a lot, but he's more accurate. He can put the ball where it needs to be enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, also, though, you know, when you're talking about RPI, I've got the RPI. If you're talking, you know, top four, you're talking Holy Cross, Louisville, Kentucky Country Day, Pikeville, and number four, Paintsville. Then number six, Crittenden. You know, now they'll move up. But go ahead, JR.
But anyway, as of right now, from what Coach Mack explained to us today, if Raceland beats Paintsville tomorrow, then and we can beat Hazard.
Yeah.
Then we will host Raceland next week for a region championship game.
Yeah, if Raceland beats Paintsville, we will play Raceland. If we win, we will play Raceland in the regional championship.
At
Pikeville.
Yeah.
Now, if Paintsville
that's big
wins,
when it comes to Raceland.
That's true. When if Paintsville wins, we're going to be playing Nicholas County or
Bishop Brossard.
Yes.
Okay. And to give you an idea, Bishop Brossard was beaten by Sayre.
Yeah,
by 3 or 4 points, I think. And Nicholas County, we played them last year. We have a good sense of who they are.
Yeah,
you know, fundamentally
beat them pretty soundly last year.
Yeah. And if we do end up playing Raceland, let me go ahead and tell you guys that ain't the same Raceland team.
It's not.
No. Yeah, no.
Their quarterback is
they've gotten a lot better.
An amazing athlete, and I think the rest of the team has caught up with him.
Yeah,
they have a lot of injuries too.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Let's focus on this week. We just wanted to give you guys some information that may have been confused.
And that's another thing I hate about the daggone RPI, man.
Yeah.
It forces you almost
to look ahead.
Yeah. And you don't ever want to do that.
You don't. It's a sin in sports.
Ask the 2014 Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I hate to do that to those kids, man, but they're a cautionary tale. They really are.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see that happen. But being with this RPI stuff, you've got to say, okay, if this happens and this happens and, you know, Raceland beats Paintsville on a lunar eclipse, in the winter solstice.
Well, here's the thing, too. I've seen so many times Pikeville teams, young Pikeville teams.
Right.
That's where, you know, in sports, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, when you have a young team, inconsistency is a problem.
Yeah.
So I've noticed when our team is up, they're world beaters. When they're not really focused, that's when you start having problems, get a few turnovers. don't pass the ball well. It's a whole different ball game.
Corbin, is that right?
You know? he's on hand signals alone.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I worry about. So there's no way you need to overlook Hazard. I mean, Hazard teams have come in here before and whiffed our butt the same year we beat them in the regular season.
Yeah.
You'd be joining other teams that did the same thing.
The 06 Panthers.
Yeah.
JR's freshman
year. Yeah. There's been a lot. There's been a few.
JR doesn't want to talk about that.
Nope. He's I do not. We're not going
to
talk
about it. You know, beat them 42-14 at Pikeville, and then 3 weeks later they kick a last-second field goal and beat us 15-14.
And that's a team you do not want to let hang around because, you know, right now they're on a win streak. Since the quarterback came back, they're 3-0. And, you know, they've got a little confidence coming into this game.
Coming from Pikeville, if you are even halfway well-versed in the history of this program, you'd be a little foolish to overlook Hazard in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Considering the history that we've had with them and the absolute wars that we have fought with them in the past.
There's a lot of people that I respect a great deal. And the one with sports and the one consistency with them is Hazard.
Yeah.
How big of a game that is, no matter if it's playoff or regular season.
It is a pure
– it can turn into a dogfight if you let it.
Bluegrass Rivals, I didn't know if you saw it the other day. I was going to quote on it. By the way, Jet Pilot, we're coming after you, son. I don't care if I got to call the FBI.
Still a reward.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to put a wanted poster up somewhere. We're just going to have a blank face and say Jet Pilot, you know, want information. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. They said, what was your school's biggest rival? And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, that was one of the thread topics on the football
field. Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I mean, your top three have got to be, I mean, you got to put Beachwood in there.
Yeah, but why?
You got to put
because now they're Pelfrey out of our class,
in there, of course.
But, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking from a historical
perspective. Yeah, okay.
You got to put Beachwood in there. You got to put Belfry in there. And, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of emotional hatred between the two communities with us and Paintsville.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've beat us, what, three times
in
35 years?
Well, but I think it's more of an addendum, like an asterisk. Okay, so the third spot, it's Hazard. But outside of our district, it's Paintsville. That's
you got to put Hazard in there because we've got to beat Hazard just to advance in the playoffs.
Also, you know, Hazard has a chip, you know. That's the big difference between them and Paintsville. Hazard actually has hardware to prove it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They've got a great tradition of one before.
Yeah.
And, you know, a former coach over here, we talk about it in the interview with Coach Mack later, but a former coach in Sean Thacker, who used to be the defensive coordinator over here at Pikeville several years back, he's the defensive coordinator at Hazard now. So, I hope we can give old Coach Thacker a good homecoming.
Yeah,
definitely.
Give you a little recap of what happened this year whenever Pikeville played Hazard. The Panthers came in. At the first part of the game, it was a little sloppy. Me and Doug were both
there. It really was. It really, that first quarter, it looked like it could be a dogfight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know?
And then after that, the Panthers kind of settled in, and the final score of that one was 43-7.
Much closer game than the score actually represents.
Yeah.
The first half was a close game.
Yeah.
Okay. And we might have been a touchdown or two ahead, but I'll tell you, you know, you throw in that extra player, if he's a charismatic leader, I mean, they can hang around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you let them hang around, they're going to take advantage
of it. Doug, you took the words right out of my mouth, though. You cannot let a team like Hazard hang around, or they will find a way to beat.
That's one of those teams, when you get your foot on their net, you best finish them off.
Yeah.
You best get up three or four touchdowns.
I don't care if Mark Dixon's not there anymore. They're still Hazard.
Well, Mark Dixon's not there anymore, but his right-hand man, the Howard guy, I think.
Well, those boys have grown up watching Hazard and Pikeville, just like us.
Yeah.
You know, when we grow, I mean, it's the same thing. They have a sense of pride. I don't care if they're down. Now it's playoffs. And, like, if I'm their coach, I'm like, hey, we're 0-0, and we're on a four-game winning streak right now. We got all the confidence in the world. You know, we got nothing to lose. Pressure's on Pikeville. You know, let's push it through.
And I'll say this for Hazard. You know, Bub, you know my feelings for Hazard.
Yeah.
You know
You have none. well, you do, but they're all bad.
Yeah, they're it's all like bad.
JR's beach.
But I'm going to say this. If there is one team in Class A that is not afraid to come to Pikeville, it's Hazard.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of this
and
place.
And they've done it so much.
Yeah.
They're used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, my freshman year, when we went up, when we played them, we beat them 43-7.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was 42-14. That's what I was talking
about. Or something like that. It was 42-14, whatever. We stomped them.
Yeah.
They came back in here in the playoffs and beat us on a last second field goal 15-14.
Yeah.
Then they played us a couple years later, my junior year, and but just stomped us over here.
Destroyed us.
Yeah. And then in 2016, when we were defending a state championship, we had the first game, we beat them 28-21. They kind of came back on us. We had a pretty sizable lead.
Yeah.
And then they come back in again in the playoffs for the region championship and stomped us and went on to beat Paintsville as well and went on to the state championship game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you even look at last year. That game at halftime was 14-6 in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, so Hazard showed up and played us tough. Hazard had that big running back that they had last year and that big line. They're going to have another big line. They probably got the biggest line in 1A.
As Coach Mike said in the interview, Coach Mike said this is probably going to be the biggest line that we faced, you know, including Belfry all year.
Yeah. So they were just trying to grind the clock out a little bit, and they didn't score on us, but we fumbled the ball or something happened, and the one kid for theirs, that number
Tyson,
three.
Tyson.
He picked the ball up and scooped and scored on us. And so it was 14-6 at halftime. Now, we came out the second half and dominated them and put a running clock on them. And that was part of the running clock streak.
Yeah.
And so last week, man, that's another streak, too. I didn't think about this until literally about 2 hours ago. That is six straight.
Yeah.
After Sayre last week, that's six straight running clocks in the playoffs that we put on teams.
Yeah. And if you look historically, it's even bigger.
Yeah.
I know Lucas Burchett posted something about that historically, the stats from those playoff games. It's amazing, really.
Yeah.
The win-loss, the running clocks, things of that nature. We're definitely better at home. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I got a question for you, too. Okay. So, we've been preaching all year about DB play. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did you all see improvement enough in the DBs that we should be able to handle Hazard this week?
I actually feel a little bit,
Doug's watched more practice than either one of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I'll tell you,
I can defer to him on
after
that.
Last week. Okay. I've been hard on our DBs. It's the one area that I really worried about for some games. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that Sayre team also had great defensive backs.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you watch that matchup, our DBs played a good game.
Yeah.
They really did. That's a heck of a quarterback they got.
Yeah.
You know, his line, you know, not as good as ours, but I'll tell you what, that's a heck of a quarterback. And to just keep him to one touchdown, and that was on a short field after a turnover, I'll tell you what, our DBs played a heck of a game, and on the run, they stopped the run, too.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, Wade played a great game on defense.
Yeah, he did.
And so, you know, right now,
our
DBs –
that kid's got a lot better.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, they – and he's really – the weird thing is he's really more of a body type as a free safety.
Yeah.
But he's playing corner and playing it well.
That's what Jackson played.
Yeah.
He's kind of built like Jackson
was. Jackson played safety.
I think in some of our – team in some of our positions we're really starting to click. You know, and you'd have to be out there every day at practice to really know, but I can see as a fan, you know, watching two or three practices, some of them are starting to click. It's right where you want to be in the playoffs right now.
This is when you want them to click.
I think we're at a really good spot. I just want to make sure that I think the only Achilles heel we have is if we have it's Hazard, we'll beat them, we beat them already. That's the only thing you got to guard against.
Well, here's the thing with the DBs. Have we faced a truly elite passing game that has been up against competition, strong competition, and dominated? Yes, we have, and that was LCA. We've went up against them and we struggled. But did I see Jeb Wilkerson go out there and go up against that number three from Sayre, who's a stud, who's a good player, and have some success?
I really don't know. Not getting back on the Sayre game, but I really don't know why Sayre didn't involve him more.
Yeah. Well, it was because he's a deep down the field threat, and yeah, he had no time.
I'd have shortened up some routes on him, taught him to run some slant routes or something.
Yeah, but
get him in behind our linebackers.
But the thing about it is that
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah. Hazard actually has some good athletes. You just got to get the ball to them.
Right.
You know, they've got that big 6'3 wide receiver, 6'4 wide receiver that can go up over top of people. He actually had a couple chances to make some plays on us the first game, and he didn't make them. Then, you know, of course, they've got number 20 now who's going to go to his natural spot. He's not going to be like kind of like a wildcat situation. He's going to be, you know, kind of back there, you know, running the ball, doing in a slot and all that other stuff.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned that. You're talking about Hazard. And,
yeah.
And the thing is, the guy that played quarterback is usually a slot or a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he's a heck of an athlete. So it kind of hurts us. That might be kind of what hurts us, because he's going to get more carries from a position that it's easier to get yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that worries me, too. We're going to have to key on him.
Well, the thing is, the way Hazard beat us 4 years ago in that upset, when we were defending state champions,
they just slammed the ball at us.
They just went and handed it off to one of their big stud dog running backs and just went down the field at will.
I remember that game, dude. They got the ball, I think it was in the to start the game, and it was me and you and Big Cat Justin Harris were standing there watching the game with us, and miss you, Big Cat. He's in Lexington now, but we were standing there, and Hazard had took the ball.
Yeah.
And there was like – by the time they scored, there was like 3 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I looked for him to do that.
And I remember telling you, I was like, man, we're in trouble if we can't stop this.
Well, they tried to do it last year. They had a little bit of success. They tried to do it
this past game
in
the regular season. But with turnovers, you can't do that.
And another thing, too, they don't have those stud dog running backs like they did
– right.
Yeah,
you don't have the big dog. Physical backs
like you have.
And here's the thing, too, and I'm outside kind of my lane, but their line is big, but by no means fast.
No.
Just because you have a big line, people, doesn't mean that your line is great.
No.
Bigger doesn't always mean better.
No, but if you're going to try and cram it, you know, 3 yards of carry, that can help. But you're going to have to do some other things to make sure that
you
can key on that.
Your big nose guard, Jacoby Thornsbury, is going to have a good game tomorrow.
Absolutely. Jacoby Thornsbury,
he's going to have to hold his gap and, you know, maintain his gap integrity and stuff. And our, you know, our two inside backers, you know, Luke Ray and Josh Taylor and Nate Collins, if he plays. And so, you know, that's going to be pretty key, I think.
Well, the thing about it is, another thing everybody has to understand is that Braden Thomas, now this is, you know, I think his second game starting at defensive end for us. He's going up against a big line.
Right.
But he also knows them boys because that's where he came from.
But, the thing about it is, we're getting to the point now where we've developed a little bit of depth on that defensive line. So, I mean, if you have problems like that, you've got the Sayers twins and Landon and different guys like that can come in there and give you some size out there at the corners where you can set that edge back.
Yeah.
Well, and we've even seen, like, we've seen more players on that defensive line than we've seen all year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've put 8 guys out there in some games. So that's cool to see the depth. You know, we here's the thing. What has hurt us this year is we've played such a hard schedule that you haven't gotten a chance to – you're hanging on for your life every game.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to keep certain guys out there. But, you know, like that first round game, you know, hopefully this game, you know, I pray to it. But, you know, we're seeing new people come in. Yeah. We're seeing a little rotation that you can do in Class A, you know. So that's a good thing. I don't think you're going to see people tired. I think you're going to see a nice rotation. Even at linebacker, we're moving people in and out.
That's definitely one of the big things that we've had on Hazard the last few years and what we've got again right now, and that's depth.
Yeah.
So that helps us. But
it's a Hazard game. Yeah. I mean, if you got to get up for that game.
Right.
I mean, if you're a Pikeville Panther, and that's one thing that I hope these players understand, is because that's a game you cannot sleep on.
No.
And it's weird because it's the second round of the playoffs, right?
Well,
and Heath, when we were in high school, what was usually our toughest game besides the semi? Second round.
Yeah.
And it's like that district championship. And it's it's a team that knows you. You know them. But I'm telling you, I think they learned a lot more about us.
The
mud
bowl over there at the Daniel Field, 93.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, it's crazy. Those games can go to the last second in those district championships.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to sleep on them. So, and Hazard's got their backs against the wall. They've had it all year. And, you know, so now, like you said before, I'm sure their coaches have told them, you know, you guys have got to, you know, it's put up or shut up time.
It is.
You know,
and they've got a glimmer of
tomorrow. And to be honest with you, if I was Hazard's coach, I would tell them boys, you know, look, come over here, you know, play with reckless abandon, and whatever happens, happens.
Play your heart out.
It's like I say against Belfry every year. Yeah. You know, if Pikeville kills you, hey, Pikeville's supposed to kill you. But, you know, if they don't, if Pikeville don't come out to play, then you can shock the world.
Yeah. So, it's a good opportunity for our boys. It's a good quality team to play in the second round.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we win that, and move on. Really, it just comes down to survive and advance.
Yeah.
Because at this point, every single game is different.
Yeah, this time of year, it don't matter if you win by one or you win by 100.
You're right. You're right.
Just survive and advance.
That's what I mean. And, you know, you also, as a team, have to expect some challenges along the way in the playoffs. Because I've never seen one besides last year. I've never seen a team just march straight through playoffs with like running clocks like that.
Yeah, and last year's group was just so focused.
They were,
and
they were good.
The year before, I mean, they were just so focused to come down there and get it done. And to be honest with you, man, and I, you know, Corbin, you're around these guys. You're one of these guys. But the thing about it is, I haven't really seen it like a lack of focus, just judging on body language.
Yeah.
And these kids, and I think that's indicative of their leadership of Coach Mack and also their quarterback and Isaac. You know, we had Isaac on the show last week. Yeah. Isaac doesn't get too high. Isaac doesn't get too low.
You're right. One thing he mentions is he doesn't want to feel like that again. He mentioned that state championship team last year really fed off that loss to Beachwood the year before. And he's like, we don't want to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, so – hopefully they're going to be ready to play. I mean, I know they'll be ready, you know,
right.
Strategy-wise.
So, moving on, you know, to this point.
That's what – well, one more thing, Joe. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what you want your motivation to be, is just to win a state championship.
Yeah.
Not we've got to avenge last year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you push past that and you become more businesslike and, you know, it's a lot less emotional to you. You know, I mean, football's an emotional game, but you know what I mean. It's not – you know, we have to do this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, let's just show up and do what we can do. If we show up and do what we can do, you know, it's going to take a whale of a football team to beat us.
Yeah.
Doug, this is mainly towards Doug, okay? Because Doug's quarterback.
Well, fine.
Shut up. Isaac has
this is the first time you ever told me to shut up on the new equipment.
But
it will not be the last.
No, it will not. Isaac has been completing some passes, more like screen passes, some short passes.
Sure.
The one big pass that we tried last week, you know, we tried another one with Zach Lockhart, and it was a crazy catch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The ricochet. We took a deep shot, and it was picked. Yeah. We're really not completing a whole lot of passes deep down the field unless it's to Zach Lockhart. Mm-hmm. Does that worry you?
No, it doesn't at all, and here's why. You know, Coach Mack had mentioned – even before that game to the team that, you know, if we get behind in the chains deep in our own territory, instead of punting, you got to understand in high school, you know, man, there's a lot of risk that happens when you're snapping a punt and have to kick it out of your end zone.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I'd much rather have my quarterback who I trust, you know, and not that he doesn't trust punters, but there's a lot more risk. Yeah. I'd rather go for it with a great wide receiver and a great quarterback. Go for it. If it gets picked, hey, they got it on the 50. Okay. That's a punt, really. And, you know, so we threw that. That was a pick. They got a short field. They scored.
Sayer did.
Okay, I didn't worry about that because that was part of the strategy.
Yeah. Right?
But the one thing that I noticed is Sayer was – and I'm still shocked. I said it last episode that the one thing they were really worried about was giving up deep balls.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were really focused on getting guys back.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a coach, football is one of those things. You take what they give you. Mm-hmm. Okay. If they're going to give us short passes, we're going to take them because we have receivers that can catch it yards after catch. Big deal. It might come into play with Hazard. I look for Hazard to sit back, okay, and let us throw those short passes and see what happens.
Well, that impresses me more about the young man, Isaac Magnum.
Yeah. Oh, they are keen on his talent.
Well, he admitted on the show last week that, you know, it was on his mind a little bit, you know. He's getting looked at by Marshall. Mm-hmm. He's already been offered by Marshall. You know, and Cole Pennington is offered by Marshall. Sure. They're in the same grade. You've got one Marshall quarterback on Sayre's sidelines. You got another one on Pikeville's sidelines and our own Douglas Powers. So, you know, I asked him, you can go back and listen to last week's show, if there was any kind of pressure on him to perform. The thing that impressed me about that was usually somebody like that, you know, if they're any little bit immature, they'll still keep trying to throw the ball downfield and show how. But Isaac stuck within the offense, which to me makes him the better D1 prospect.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot that goes into that. But he also trusts his game plan.
Yeah.
And he trusts the guys that are on top of the boot, Steve Johnson, Coach Mack, these guys. They have his best interest at heart. He knows that. But I look for a lot of teams. It's such a good thing to have, though, the deep threat, because when you have a good running attack and a deep threat, pick your poison.
Yeah.
Okay. Because either way, we're good.
I got the reason I asked that question, Doug, is because Isaac is been known more for his deep ball throw. I'm not saying he can't throw underneath. I'm not saying none of that. No, but he is a big armed quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you're a big arm quarterback, you know, you want to take advantage of, hey, I could throw this thing to the moon. Let's, you know, take advantage of it.
Well, but, and he has awesome receiver. You know, last year he had great receivers. This year he's got one of the best in the state.
You know? You guys know that kid as well as I do. I think if his dad came out there and said, Isaac, the only way we can win this game is if you hand it off 35 times
tonight. He would hand it off.
He would hand it off 35 times and would not say a word about it.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes that kid special. You know,
actually, he's taken a bigger role in the running game, too.
Yeah. He can come out and sling it all over the field and throw it 50 times and throw for 400 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's done it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he sticks within the game plan so well, man.
Yeah.
And that's gold.
And for his, kid. It is. It's like having a coach on the field.
Yeah.
But also, he is. I used to tease him all the time. I was like, throwing's easy. You ain't no option quarterback, you know. But I'll tell you this much. His reads on those, you know, RPOs and some of the reads on defensive ends are getting really good.
Yeah.
And
he's like John Rambo. His mind is his best weapon.
There you go. But he's getting – you can see him mature in his development.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see as a quarterback. I mean, when you're developing a quarterback, there's certain levels to it. You know, and you can just see him climbing the stairs.
Yeah.
And well, he's doing it at a fast pace.
With inexperienced wide receiver core that is talented but largely inexperienced, you know, he's done more to beat people in different ways.
Yeah, and see, like last year, I think that was key. He had awesome receivers last year. And I told him, I was like, dude, I'd have gave my left foot to have the receivers you had.
Yeah.
But it gave him confidence, right? So now he knows he can do it, right?
Last year he was just like Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, he just sling it deep. One of them's open, dude.
Sling it deep and Swan and Stallworth's going to go get it.
And I'll tell you what, it was weird because one of them was always open.
It really was. They really were always open. One of them was always open.
So, but I mean, he's getting more surgical and he's becoming a student of the game. I mean, he always has been, but he's getting more specific about what he's supposed to do. And you can see it, and it's going great for him.
Okay, we've hyped up our quarterback way too much. He's going to be
He's still going to win.
Listen, there you go. Yeah, this kid has been hyped up his entire life, and he still played good. So I don't think, you know.
Well, JR, what was the thing I said about him to Doug when we first started coaching in Little
League? It's impossible to overhype this kid.
Yeah, he's the only kid I've ever coached that it's impossible to overhype.
Yeah.
Well, he's even keeled. It's not going to affect his mindset at all. And that's a hard player to find, but. You know, also he's a coach's kid, and he sees that he has grown up seeing how that can hurt players, too.
Yeah.
So that helps also.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to make the same mistakes other people have. So that's great. And, you know, it's nice to have a good quarterback, all right? And I also think that our wide receivers are getting a lot better. B-Lo played a good game last game. You know, Wade, is playing better. He just on offense, it just wasn't there.
Yeah,
it wasn't his fault. It was just the coverage. But you know, he's gonna be in there.
Too. Well, that's what Coach Mack touched on. They actually tried to get Wade the ball, but you know, when you see a 6'3", 6'4" kid
you
out
draw
there,
attention.
It doesn't matter if he catches a lot of balls or not. That's still going to draw attention to
him. And also, if you're on the strong side of the field a lot or the weak side of the field, that matters too.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of other things involved. It's not just saying, oh, we need to throw it to this guy. Sometimes you can't decide that.
Yeah.
You know, it's decided for you. So, you know, that's part of that.
And I'm impressed with Isaac that he has – adjusted to this new type of offense they're going to have to run to suit their wide receivers. Last year, it was go deep, like you guys mentioned. Go deep, throw it deep. Now, they have to run more routes. They have to run more screens.
There's a reason. He was an unproven quarterback last year.
Yeah.
So they were going to make him throw. I guarantee teams last year were like, okay, if you beat us, your quarterbacks, your sophomore quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's what Paceville did.
Yeah.
So he carved them up like a Christmas turkey.
So really, I mean, now they're going to take away the deep stuff.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to get more surgical. And honestly, it's going to fall to, in my opinion, it's going to fall to our wide receivers to have to make some plays.
Yeah.
Yards after the catch.
Yeah.
You know, so a controlled passing game, that's fun. And those are highly completable balls. Okay, you're talking, I'd rather throw 12 yards and let somebody run 40 than throw 40 yards and make them run 12.
Yeah.
All right. Those are more high percentage plays. So I'm fine with that.
Well, let me tell you this much. If you see Wade Hensley get a red zone touchdown pass or a deep touchdown pass where he starts going over people and getting more confident, look out.
Hey, I'll tell you, he's really good in those tight spots.
And he's very close.
And he we've already seen it too. I think against Belfry, he uses his body extremely well.
Yeah.
Against defensive backs. And that's something you can't really – you can try and teach people that, but it's more of kind of a gift for him.
Yeah.
It's just the way he uses his body. It's almost like blocking out in basketball.
Yeah.
Legally, okay? But to catch balls like that, it's hard to do. And he seems to be our – he actually seems to be a possession receiver, not one of those big play receivers.
Well, and that was a point I was getting ready to make. Yeah, naturally, his last name's Hensley. He wires number one. He's a pretty good sized kid. He's a good athlete. Naturally, everybody thinks he's going to be like his brother. To me,
he's opposite.
He plays more like Seth Pugh.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not a bad thing to be at all.
No. It's an opposite skill set, but a great skill all the same.
He's your red zone threat. Yeah. You know, he's the big rangy guy. You know,
he also doesn't run a 4.340. You know, I mean, Jackson was more of a burner.
Yeah.
You know. But but Wade, really, I'm telling you, in those like third and eights, you know, second and nines, that's a good guy to get.
Yeah, on like a big route or like a comeback route or something like that, he'd be money.
I respectfully disagree with you.
Okay.
The one receiver that he reminds me of that he could be, who is a very effective wide receiver for us that I remember, is Andrew McNamee.
Yeah.
From 2015.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, roughly the same type.
Yeah,
same type
of big bodied receiver can go in the end zone and, you know, make big catches over people. And, you know, you let him out in space, he's not going to blow your mind with speed, but he can make moves and get to the end zone.
Not saying he can't get to the end zone.
Yeah.
I think one of his really good attributes is middle of the field comebacks that, you know, when you need a first down.
Yeah,
or a touchdown. All right. You know, also what helps is his height now.
Yeah.
And he's athletic. He can jump. Okay. The good thing about having tall receivers is most defensive backs, I mean, look at ours. Most of them are very short. Okay. You get a tall wide receiver, they can jump over him and grab it.
The only reason why I made the only thing that cements the Seth Pugh comparison to me is how good Wade plays on defense.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where –
He's more – okay, I think why you're drawing that conclusion also, who was one of the best blocking wide receivers you've ever seen at Fireball?
Seth Pugh.
Okay. Wade is actually one of our most more physical players in skill players.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you just said, you know, you got small corners out there.
Yeah.
You know, Wade is 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah. I have seen him literally lift people up and break them.
Yeah, that's an automatic, you know, just mismatch, you know, completely. So
we keep talking about all the passing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about running the football a little bit.
you got a stable of horses, and any one of them are capable of going the distance.
Yeah, listen, the first play of this hazard game the last time was Blake Birchfield going 80 yards to the house.
Yeah.
So when you run the ball effectively like that, that's also helping Isaac, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't protect against the pass and the run.
Yeah.
You have to decide.
Well, you see last week how much better our passing game got as we our running game start as we started running the football more. You know, you got to pass to set up the run. That's an adage as old as football itself.
Yeah.
And your run to set up the pass.
Yeah, you can't pass the ball unless you own the line of scrimmage and run the ball.
Yeah, because they're not going to fear you if all you're going to do is throw the ball. You know, if they're not going to expect the run, they'll just, you know, play everybody back and everything else.
But, and our running game has got better because now we're not having to run Blake Birchfield 25, 30 times.
We
game.
Are spreading carries out.
Because, you don't have the Derek Pugh, you know, who can give you 30 carries a game.
And he can take a lot of punishment. He was a big dude.
Yeah, he gets stronger as he carries the ball as the game goes on. But you've got 3 to 4 guys back there, like I said, that could take it to the house.
Maybe 5 or 6, really, if we really needed it.
Yeah. I mean, and when you have Braden Thomas coming alive at the
time.
Get you
the tough yards, man.
Yeah. And then you've got Alex Rogers that could do the same thing. And he's a good lead blocker, as we saw last week.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and go watch that short yardage play that Blake Birchfield scored on and watch Alex Rogers' lead block on that play.
Yeah.
That is textbook, man. You can't get no better.
And than Isaac
Coleman.
Yeah. Coleman is another one.
You've got 4 or 5 guys that can run the ball effectively,
it's hard to key offensive, on one guy.
Yeah, and an offensive line that is opening up holes consistently every single week, that is going to be a problem for any 1A team that they play this year. I mean, plain and simple. You're going to have to show up and be mentally prepared in all of your assignments on defense to stop Pikeville. Yeah. I don't care if they don't have the big wide receiver core or whatever.
Your linebackers better be ready to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And the DBs. Yeah. I mean, and you've got to be ready to go.
So everybody's going to – I mean, that, in my opinion, and it's a blessing for us.
Yeah.
Because we've got so many athletes all over the field. You have to defend every blade of grass against Pikeville. And if you don't, you leave one blade of grass untouched, they're going to use that, and they're going to take that blade of grass, and they're going to burn you with it.
Yeah.
And that's –
I would agree.
That's why they pose so many problems, especially at this level of football, because most people aren't blessed with the amount of athletes that we have.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's I'm not saying that that's the only reason why we're good. We got great coaching.
Oh, yeah.
These kids all have great attitudes, man. That makes the big difference.
And we have an offense that is suited to the talent we have at Pikeville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the key things.
Hey, I told you, man. Listen, I grew up just like you did, Doug, under the Hillard Howard, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, out of the wishbone and everything else. And that 1 year in Little League, when we run the spread, it made a believer out of it.
I mean, we just have the talent. It fits, guys. And it's not – listen, Pikeville always will have quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. When we have a great line, we definitely win state titles.
I don't think Corbin likes the spread.
But even
– Corbin likes the big pounded offense.
Well, yeah. You know, with big even when we have mediocre lines, that still accentuates some of our best athletes one-on-one with people that they're probably more athletically better than.
So, over the years, Doug, you know, me and Bubs followed it a little bit more than you have. Yeah. But, you know, we've won a lot of games, and we haven't had unbelievable line play because, you know, you had the Cody E-Steps and all those guys that got out in space and made plays and stuff like that. Yeah. We just couldn't compete with the Belfries, the Beachwoods, and all that stuff without a great line.
Yeah.
Now that we have great linemen, you're seeing – you know, the proofs in the pudding.
You're seeing more interior running also. You're in a way. And see, I've tried to, even when we did it in Little League, Heath, just because you're in the spread doesn't mean you can't run interior. In a way, it frees up
and
to run up the middle
because
you're spreading the defense out.
And I think the biggest thing that has caused that, the reason why our lines have gotten better, is one simple thing. Culture.
Yeah.
And I give Bradley Allen, you know, Coach Sayers, Coach Jones, all those guys over on the offensive line side, and Coach Yogi and Coach Foote on the defensive line side. Matt Branham at the junior high level.
Yeah.
You know,
let's toot our own horn on that, too.
And the Little League coaches, too.
It all feeds together. Yeah.
For the longest time, and I'm not really pointing fingers at anybody, it just kind of what happens, you know, playing lineman was like a kiss of death for a lot of kids. You know, like if they couldn't play, I mean, I've seen kids quit because they get put on the line.
Yeah.
They
didn't want to play. Especially in Little League. It's,
you know, and yeah, it's football and everybody thinks they're quarterback. You know, everybody wants to score the touchdowns and let their girlfriends and their mommies all go crazy of them. But what has become really cool down here that I've really, and I don't think it's an accident that we became dominant when it really started taking hold.
Yeah.
Is making the lineman, you know, more of a focal point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Making it okay to be a lineman, making it cool to be a lineman, you know? And yeah, I did a little bit of that myself, you know, but it wasn't just me. It started with me and a lot of other coaches too, but that kind of creaked up and then Matt Branham took that and ran with it. You know, Brad Allen took that and ran with it. You know, all those guys up there. So that to me, that's been the difference.
Yeah.
And you know, it's definitely helped this program, and I hope it. As long as I've got breath in my body, it'll. I'll keep trying to make that so.
Well, even on the Hell Podcast, we have a hog of the week. You know,
and that was for that very reason.
Yeah. I mean, and anyone that plays football knows that. I mean, a lot of fans don't get that,
right.
You know, like if you're not scoring touchdowns, you're not as important. I don't really know where that comes from, but, you know, the linemen are the most critical
part. We know what it is, Doug. It's the chicks.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the chicks.
It's the most critical part of the offense and defense. Unless you control the line of scrimmage, you can't do much in football. Your quarterback will get killed. We've seen it a million times. Like running backs, they can't do nothing without linemen, without blocking.
And here's – my thoughts on it have been, and it's not just a Pikeville thing. I think it's all of football at every level.
Yeah, especially the younger levels.
Yeah. If you're not a complete football junkie like we are, you know, if you're not a complete hopeless football addict like we are, okay, you know, you don't really understand the line play. You have to really understand the game of football.
Oh, it's finesse.
To understand line play. Yeah. And what good line play does for you.
And as coaches, and you have to.
It's easier for people who don't necessarily follow, and I'm not faulting those people. I'm just saying, you know, not everybody's, you know, maniacs like we are.
Yeah.
And that's they're probably better off for it.
Well, if you can watch a guard pull
you
know, on a video, and that's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah.
That choreographed. Right. I mean, it has to be down to the millisecond for it to work.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, you know, you watch the old Steelers of the 70s and watch those old trap plays.
I mean, it's crazy.
No use to run, man. It's beautiful.
Well, another thing, Bub, is
shout out Barry Birchfield.
Another thing that a lot of people have trouble with is they like to watch the ball.
Yeah.
When they watch football.
Hey, dude, I'm just guilty of it.
Yeah, I am too. I like
to watch love it when defensive guys watch the ball.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Great. Well, we've been trained to watch the ball our whole lives.
So when you watch the ball, you really don't get to see the beauty of what the line does up front.
Yeah. It really is, man. It's a beautiful thing. When it's working good on both sides of the ball, when it is working good,
it's cool.
An absolute beautiful
thing. And as a quarterback and running backs and stuff, you are taught they look at the ball.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's almost like smoke and mirrors for us. I mean, it's just really cool how it all fits together in the puzzle.
Okay, guys. Moving on to who Hazard has beat since they played us on their three-game winning streak. They beat Phelps at Phelps 21-6. They beat Whitley County 25-21 at home. Bell County game got canceled due to COVID. Mm-hmm. And then they played Phelps again and won 37-14. So Whitley County, we all know about Phelps.
Yeah. Not the strongest. I mean, Phelps has one player that really – and the district player of the year.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, he you know, here's my thing. He won that and well-deserved. I mean, he carried a big load. But we also had a receiver this year that broke state records for in-game receptions, yardage, and touchdown. You know, and also we have a quarterback that's had a daggone good year. I mean –
We got a running back. We got a running back that ran slap dab all over one of the best teams in this area, Blake Birchfield.
Yeah. And played a good defensive game. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, I think Hazard, it's just you don't know what kind of team's going to walk in here tomorrow on Friday. You just don't.
You don't know. But the thing about it is, Doug, when we go into these types of games, Coach Mack has been notorious about being a November coach.
Yes.
You know, getting the boys ready for November. I saw that November football team poke its head out against Sayre. I saw it.
Yeah.
Focus, communication, a lot of stuff was going right for us. And I saw that and I was like, you know, okay, now we're starting to see the Coach Mack come out in this. Now the players are starting to really understand those 2 weeks off really helped us. We got back to basics. And now, guess what? You do not want to see Pikeville right now. You just don't.
Well, I agree with you. But I also think Sayre talked, you know, there was a lot of noise around that game.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I'm not seeing this week, there's no noise. You know, now we got to make sure our guys are up for this game. But, and I think they will be. But, you know, I think Sayre kind of took care of herself with, you know, some of the stuff on Twitter, stuff like that. I think it kind of motivated our guys, got them up. So that's one thing. That's the only thing I worry about.
Okay. So, guys, it has come to the point in our show that we love. It is our Faith Pharmacy and Bruce Walters Ford X Factors of the game.
Okay.
I'm going to go first.
All right.
If it's anything like it was the last time that we played them, it's going to be stopping the running attack. My X factor this week will be Luke Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Ray had a heck of a game last week against Lexington Sayre.
Like a missile,
he gets better every single game.
Every single game.
And he's a sophomore.
The kid likes to hit.
And he really looks like a linebacker. Yeah. He looks like one of those classic linebackers.
It's like I said last week, man. It's like they went to an old cave and checked him out of ice. You know, he was a linebacker for the Steelers back in the 50s or something.
He's a big, broad kid, and when you've got big running backs, that's what the kind of linebacker you need to stop those big running backs.
He's not necessarily tall, but at the same time, it's not a detriment to him.
No.
Because, you know, if you're playing the run a lot, you know, and you've got low man wins, he's got the lower center of gravity.
Yeah.
So, and he's an absolute.
Well, he's not short by any
means. No. Yeah. But, man, he's a brute.
And
he's
the thing is, he's
built like a fire hydrant.
I give credit to Paul Sullivan because over the years, we've had shorter but stockier linebackers.
Yeah.
He has created a system to where these shorter, broader linebackers.
I think he identifies them at a young age.
Yeah.
Kind of grooms them for that.
Yeah.
Really.
And then he comes in there, he runs the defense that he runs, and these guys always make plays. Right. All of those stockier, not necessarily tall linebackers always make plays, and Luke Ray is becoming another linebacker in the long line of great Paul Sullivan linebackers.
The lineage of linebackers, yeah. And we definitely know he can coach linebackers.
You know who one of those linebackers was that he coached? John Collum.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. The streak
lives.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that's my X factor tomorrow is going to be Luke Ray. And also, I'll just throw this out there. I think it's going to be Braden Thomas. This is another kid that comes in there and he's playing his old school.
Mm-hmm. You got to think he's going to be.
Yeah, and now he's got a little bit into the running game now.
Yeah,
and Coach Mack is going to want to, you know, let him have his revenge game.
Right.
So that's my kid. Those are my two X factors for tomorrow. Well, Doug, you want to go?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's my thing. My X factor is not about Pikeville. My X factor is the Hazard defense. Okay. Are they going to try and stop our run or our pass? They can't do both. Okay. So that's the X factor.
Yeah.
So you're not going to know what kind of game this is going to be until that first. I need to see one series and I can tell you how that game's going to go.
I can tell you this much right now. Sean Thacker knows Chris McNamee.
Yeah.
He does.
They've coached together. You know, he knows.
Now, he hasn't had much success against Mack since he left.
Right.
He coached at Pike Central. Mack, you know, beat him twice.
Well, and it's more – I'm sorry, let me get more specific. You either have to stop the run, the long passes, or the short passes.
Yeah.
Pick your poison.
Pick your poison.
You can't do it all.
Yeah. And another thing, too, Doug, you could throw this in there, too. Mm-hmm. Can they run the ball against us?
That's good. And also, another – sorry, I throw out like three. But,
no, dude, it's our show. We can do it.
The hazard quarterback. The new, you know?
Yeah.
This kid didn't play against us last time. That combination of the quarterback that played last time moving out to wide receiver, you know, we might see some more passing.
Well,
you know,
in 2014, when we got beat by Paintsville, mm-hmm. Paintsville added a kid late in the year, and he gave us a bunch of problems.
It messes up your scouting report.
Right? Yeah, it does. It does, and you just
– But, you know, there's film out there with Huddle and everything else, and I'm sure the coach has been able to find some film. Well, since you guys have had all your X factors, I was reminded of Adam Sandler from The Wedding Singer. We have a microphone, and you will listen to every dang word we have to say. Now, I have one X factor tomorrow, and plays both sides of the ball, and it's somebody that I'm not sure Hazard's really going to account for, and I think he's going to have a big game. And we've already talked about him at length, and that's Wade Hensley. He is my X factor. He's due for a big breakout game on offense. He's
really
played great
is.
On defense.
Yeah, he is.
But, man, he is this close. And by all accounts from every coach up there, the kid has looked phenomenal in practice. You know, all those 3 weeks that we had off, he did very well on defense last week against Sayre. So his confidence is getting better. And you guys know as well as I do, as you know, being former high school athletes and Doug a college athlete, you know, confidence is everything. And so I think you're going to see a big game out of Wade Hensley tomorrow.
I'll say this. If he scores on a big touchdown pass at any point in time in this game, I will get the goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because that means our offense is right where we need it.
Yeah.
Right where we need it.
It's kind of what we've been waiting on.
We go from really good to scary good.
Yeah.
If you get B-Lo and him
and
Zach on the same page, that's
– And then you could get
– And Birchfield coming out of the backfield.
You've got a recipe for disaster.
Birchfield in the slot, and you got Braden Thomas and Alex Rogers running the ball. I mean,
and naturally, both of our lines have to perform, but that's every guy.
Well,
that's
and there's game. A lot of different recipes we can use. Yeah, just like you said. I mean, there's 100 ways we can line up and use these guys. So – That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It is our prediction time.
Prognostication.
Yes.
I feel like Notre Damus or whatever that guy's name
is. Hey, you know what? Me and Bub.
Notre Damus. I just thought the dude was an Irishman. Maybe it was rude.
He was an Italian like 500 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
But no, it is our favorite part of the show.
A lot of them Italian people are Catholic.
They are. He was Catholic.
You know, Roman Catholic. Hello.
We were close. We both were.
Yeah.
Last week.
I was 11 points off.
We were all close. A little bit.
I said 56-7, and it was 49-14.
I said 60-14, and the defense did good.
I think they scored 32-14.
They scored once on our varsity.
Yeah, something like that.
On the short field, and they scored once on our JV.
Yeah.
So we all got the opposing score team pretty much right.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Yeah, you can tell we're predominantly defensive players on this show.
So, anyway.
What's defense?
Shut up.
All right.
I did play one or two downs.
Yeah, it is Hazard.
I've heard.
It is Hazard. It is Pikeville. It is a rivalry game. It is playoffs.
Yep.
They are going to come in here. They've got film on us. They're going to want to come in and send a message that, hey, we're not dead. We're not – this program is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got a bunch of hungry kids that have heard all year long that they are overrated in Pikeville.
Yeah.
They've heard, oh, well, you couldn't beat LCA, Campbell County beat you, all this stuff.
They're not last year's team, you know, and all this stuff.
They've had, you know, they've been trying to search for games. Nobody wants to play them. Like we said last week.
What else is the other thing? If you're going to beat Pikeville, you might want to do it this year.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Well, you know, these kids, I don't think want – they're going to make sure you don't beat Pikeville this year either.
Yeah. So, coming into this game, it's going to come down to – can we execute like we did the last time in the second half? And I think we will come out and we will be ready to play this time. We won't take them lightly. We're going to come out and send a message, just like we did last week, that, hey, we're the defending Class 1A state champions. We're coming to get you. So my prediction is Pikeville 48, Hazard 14. 48-14.
I think you're too high on offense, bro. So mine's going to be quick and sweet. 38-21 in a closer one. I think that game's going to go three quarters, maybe a half. But I'm telling you, I think Hazard's going to come in here ready to play.
I do too. But at the same time, I just think we're just too much for them to handle at the end of the day. Yeah. Kind of like Sayre, you know, we were just too much to handle at the end of the day.
If that defensive football team shows up and played last week, I don't think anybody in 1A is going to score 21 points on us. I mean, call me a homer, call me whatever you want, but I'm just looking from as objective as I possibly can be. I saw better communication last week.
Out of definitely that better communication.
I saw much more physical play. Yeah. I saw much more people understanding and being just more comfort.
Much more execution on both sides.
They didn't look as like nervous. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I didn't see one time where a DB blew a coverage or anything like that.
And the recurring theme, more confidence. So with me, Hazard is going to play us tough. Okay. I mean, like we said, it was 14-6 last year. Now, Hazard isn't as good as they were last year, neither are we. But I still think that we've got way too many horses for Hazard to handle. You know, Hazard's a proud program.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to come in here and just lay down for us.
No.
And it'll be close probably till about midway through the second half. And then I think our talent starts kind of showing up. My final score, Pikeville 35, Hazard 12.
35
to 12. Not a run clock, but close.
I just, hey, listen, whenever you get an 80-yard touchdown right out of the gate in the first game, I just saw whatever I needed to see right there.
Well, I don't worry about the 80-yard touchdowns. I worry about the 80-yard drives. Mm-hmm. That's my worry.
If you can get a play like that from a Burkesfield, I mean, we've got 3-4 guys on this team that can do that.
Yeah.
If you can get a play like that right out of the gate, it might be a different story.
And, guys, here's another thing that you all are missing is that, you know, the younger guys actually got in the Hazard game, and we kind of pulled off the horses a little bit early in that game, in the second half. So that could be the case again. I'm not saying
it's going to be. I'm going a little bit more conservative just out of respect for Hazard.
And
it's the playoffs, they want to play. They're going to bring some heart.
And I know I understand completely how pompous that sounds. I'm saying a 23-point victory is being conservative. Yeah. But at the same time, I just – from – what I see and what I know about this game, what you guys know about this
game. It's not your typical Hazard team.
In a way, it's a down year, but it's also kind of a year, I think, that can fire the troops up, too, just because
you've got a point.
You know, they lost their coach. They had COVID and missed like a month of practice. Just all kinds of stuff. So, you know, Hazard's going to come out and put up a fight. So, it'll be close at halftime. It'll be within a touchdown, 10 points, something like that. I don't see it being any more than that, but I think eventually our horses are going to
– If we don't turn the ball over,
everything, I feel pretty safe. Everything in every football game, a football game could completely turn on two things, turnovers and penalties.
Well, I just worry that they're going to grind the clock and try – if they can move the ball, that's going to be big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they can move the ball, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. The thing is, can they constantly move the ball for the four quarters?
Yeah.
I don't believe
they can. And punt without getting one blocked or fumbling or turning it up. You know,
special teams going to come in big in this game, too.
Special teams could play big in this
game. I mean, I'm going to go out on a big limb here and say nothing that nobody's ever said in a football broadcast of any kind before. The team with the less penalties and the least amount of turnovers are going to win the game.
All right, guys.
Groundbreaking stuff here.
If you tell me next week we didn't have turnovers, we win that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys, our first podcast with our official Bruce Walters Ford podcast equipment. And, man,
we even got filters on the microphone.
Yeah, man.
We look like professional rappers in here. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm about to bust a freestyle. But
I feel like we're in the recording studio, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I feel like this is like the first time Led Zeppelin ever got together, you know, and they just started jamming.
Yeah, hey, man.
It's awesome.
And we're in a garage, too, so I mean, yeah. That kind of brings a whole feel
the
to
the garage band, man.
But, hey, thank you to Bruce Walters Ford for this amazing equipment. Thank you to Faith Pharmacy for our amazing Hog of the Week t-shirts.
Yeah.
And Bruce Walters for the Player of the Week t-shirts. Man.
The kids loved it.
The kids loved it. Isaac loved his. I got a picture. I'll post it tonight for you guys to see. You know, the Hog of the Week shirts, everybody was a big fan of them, too.
Yeah.
You know, Brad Allen, the line coach, loved it. So
when I took that in the locker room, I thought I was going to have a fight on my hands. Who got it? And I was like, no. Win it next week.
Hey, man, I love it that the kids are competitive. Like, hey, I want to be.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah. And, you know, just that for us to be able to do that, a group of guys that, well, me and Bub started it in the truck, and now we've came to giving people t-shirts. Well,
here's the deal, man. And I was very thankful for Troy Howell's, and I want to say this on air. I was very thankful for Troy Howell's article that he had about us where he quoted me and JR in it. But at the same time, I was a little bummed out, man. I was like, I just about said something to Troy, but I didn't because I know he didn't mean any disrespect back. But I was like, dude, we got Doug over here. What is he, chop liver?
It's okay.
You know,
I'm a role player.
Hey,
I know my role.
No, you're not. Listen to this. Man. I will guarantee this. When it is basketball season, Doug Powers will be quoted at least 75 times.
Me and Doug's probably going to switch roles because Doug's going to be taking it, you know, and I'm just going to be like, he dribbled good.
And he's also going to be quoted for football as well. But listen, you're not going to find a better basketball stud than Doug Powers.
Yeah,
you're just not going to.
Hey, look, man, you know, this show would not be where it's at without
Doug Powers.
Why are you going to make me cry?
Because we love you, Doug. It's Thanksgiving.
No,
you got to tell your family you love
them. Yeah. I mean, we've done a good job. This has been a team effort. You know, we're making Corbin sit here in the cold. He can't talk. Only hand signals. Okay? This is cool.
Potential guests on the show. It will not be cold for long. We are getting more heaters.
Yeah,
it will
be
heaters.
Not
going
to be cold.
It's going to be sweet.
Don't worry.
But worst comes to worst, we'll send Corbin over there to like hug around on you and stuff and keep you warm.
But it has been cool.
I'm proud of you. You've done a heck of a job. You're only going to get better.
Yeah.
Good job. I love you. And
you're grounded.
Go get them tomorrow.
High fives. But it's only, you know, and we've done all this in like 3 or 4 months during a pandemic. It's cool. This is a good thing for Doug.
I told you the other day, I thought it would take us 2 years to get to where we are right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the Lord has blessed us.
Yeah.
And I never want to say anything other than that. If you, I mean, I joke on here and say it's all me or JR might joke or Doug might joke, but. You know, it truly is a team effort, you know.
Well, and I think that, you know, this is something that the fans of Pyle love, you know, just hear, you know, the feedback.
Well,
people
appreciate it, and we thank all the fans out there for listening. But, you know, people respond to things that are honest.
Yeah.
If we were out here just being out here for ourselves and just out here talking to make ourselves look good, you know, people would not respond to it. But, you know, they know that our intentions are – you know,
altruistic,
I guess is the word. Man, that hurt. That hurt my head.
God,
that's one in mayonnaise words
like that.
That's one in mayonnaise words. But
I'm not using words like that. Sorry.
they know our intentions are true and what we're actually wanting to do. And we thank them all for it. And thanks to everybody out there for listening. All you new people that are listening, people that aren't from Pikeville. You know, that I told Doug and JR this week, we were texting back and forth. I said, man, I want this show to make everybody want to be from Pyle.
And that
would be cool. But, you know, just thank you guys so much. And like I said, again, happy Thanksgiving. We love all of you and all that stuff.
I would love if like Shelby Valley or Belfry or one of those, you know, schools get a podcast and we just blow them out of the water because we're the best. You know,
I would love that rivalry. I mean,
We're competitive dudes over here.
Even our podcasts hate each other.
Yeah, but I'll say this. I just want everybody to understand this too. This is for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we're doing, man, is for the kids. We're not doing it.
And right now, I'm rooting for Belfry. Yeah. I'm rooting for Belfry. I'm rooting for Johnson Central, and I'm rooting for Pikeville.
Yeah.
You know, because it's playoff.
I hope Shelby Valley upsets West Carter.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Once we get into the playoffs and we don't have to play those teams anymore and they're done, we're rooting for you. You know. So we are rooting for the Mountain kids, especially. I mean, I know we're homers from Pikeville. We're especially going to root for our boys, but we do root for Johnson Central and Belfry and all the other Mountain schools.
I want Kroger Holler again down there. That was
pretty cool.
Dude, I'm telling you, me and JR pulled into the parking lot last year of Kroger Field, and you saw Pikeville fans, and you saw Bell County fans, and Belfry fans, and Paintsville fans, and Somerset fans, man. It literally almost kind of made you a little emotional just seeing that. Just because of the struggles that we've went through, not just as a community and as a region as a whole, but also Mountain football and how it has been looked down on.
And like we are going through.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a transitional time right now. So, you know, shout out to everybody out there that's got some heart sticking with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to conclude our first ever professional podcast today. And thank you to Bruce and Bruce Walters Ford and Faith Pharmacy for allowing this to happen. We can't thank you all enough. This podcast will be up tonight on my Facebook, J.R. Robinson. It'll also be up on the Hell Podcast Facebook. And it'll be on my Instagram, OldJunior34, on Instagram. Also, if it takes a while to get this out, I just want to let you all know it's our daggum Wi-Fi. We're trying to fix it as we speak.
We'll get it fixed tomorrow.
We will have it fixed tomorrow.
Lord's will.
Yes, Lord's will. We will have it fixed tomorrow, and it will be out on the same day we do the podcast.
And on this note, good night, John Hatfield, wherever you may be.
But also,
I'm just going to pick random players.
Okay.
It will be on Doug Powers, Allison Doug Powers Facebook.
Yeah.
And it will be on Doug's Twitter account, Doug Powers. Yeah. It will also be on Bub's Facebook, Heath Robinson, and it will also be on his Twitter account, which is Heath_Smash. And I'm so professional, but I'm going to read you the phone numbers to Bruce Walters Ford and all those places real quick. I have to get it in
front of me. Buy a car.
Yeah, buy a car, buy a motor scooter, do whatever you got to do, man. That's big time.
Shop there now.
Yes, you got to shop there now. If you are trying to go to Faith Pharmacy and you need some meds, or as you know, Johann von
Bruno von Oppenhofen.
Von Oppenhofen said he needs a rear end thermometer or ace bandages. You call 606-509-6337 and Bub. Do they have delivery?
Yes, 509 Meds, and they deliver in and around the Pikeville area.
Yes, and then...
Sorry, J.D., I know you're going to sue me.
For Bruce Walters Ford, you call 606-444-2200 if you want to buy a car. Bruce would be happy to take care of any need that you may have. Him and that whole Walters family are caring people, and I'm not just trying to say that because they're sponsors. They are good people. I love them to death, and I think they could take care of you.
Yeah,
100%. So that's the end of the podcast, guys. God, this was awesome. I don't want to quit.
We've got the Chris McNamee interview, right?
Yeah, and now you're going to hear.
Stay tuned for the Coach Mack interview. You know, this was like the third Lord of the Rings. It just won't end.
Yeah, so now you got the Coach Mack interview. You're going to love that. Coach gives us some insight. Also, Coach
is very good about doing that every week, and we thank him tremendously for doing that, especially – taking his time out on Thanksgiving Day today.
Yeah. Also, he gives us a little bit of a trip down memory lane on his favorite Hazard matchups and his favorite Hazard win. So that was cool. So you got to listen to that. Thank you guys so much. We love you guys. We're pretty sure you're going to hear us a lot better now. So thank you all.
Maybe that's
love
a bad
you.
Thing.
Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Oh yeah. Last thing. If you're coming to the game tomorrow, mask. Social distance. Yeah. Absolutely.
We did good last game. Let's keep it going.
Got to keep it going. Hey, man, we're on the back burner of this thing now. We just got to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't need a big COVID outbreak.
Yeah, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We got the vaccine, all that good stuff. Let's just keep on the right track, and we'll be good to go. So that's what I want to say. And at the end of the day, hail Pikeville.
All right, guys, we're in the lair again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving.
And I would like to introduce the Class 1A Coach of the Year, Mr. Chris McNamee. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
It's Thanksgiving. We couldn't ask for a better time. And we're still playing football.
Yeah, we're still playing football. Well, Thanksgiving. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Coach, big win last week. Boys look sharp. Was you pleased with the performance?
I was. I thought we came out and had a little more sense of urgency about us than we normally do in a first round game. And I think that had a lot to do with our opponent and their record coming in. So yeah, I was tickled. I thought our effort was good. We executed pretty well, and just happy to get that first round win.
Oh yeah.
And to play, we haven't played in so long. It was good to get out and play a game, play another team.
Yeah. Well, Coach, just to let you know, your boy won our first Hail Podcast Player of the Week. You got him a T-shirt and everything. Had him on the show. Yeah. Was you pleased with his performance as well?
I was, but, I'm always, I guess, a little harder on him. But, and ultimately it's a team game, but I thought he stepped up and, did what he was supposed to do, and that's get the ball in some guys' hands that can make some plays and put us in some good situations. So, yeah, overall, I was happy with the way he played.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Coach, at this point, I guess you're kind of like Forrest Gump, ain't you? I mean, you got Coach of the Year again. Got a big plaque again. So, no, I mean, there's no more deserving person to win it. And congratulations to you again on that. But you got a familiar foe in Hayden coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've lost since they played us last, if my memory serves me correctly, which is entirely possible that it wouldn't. But what do you expect differently for Hazard today to come in here and try to beat us?
Well, you're right. They've won three in a row coming here tomorrow night. I think the big difference between them this time and last time is A, they're playing better. I think they've gotten better. And, that's something you got to take your hats off to them. They played some good teams early and took some losses, but and if you look at their record, it's not great overall, but those kids keep fighting, showing right up and playing, and as long as you've got some fight in you, you've always got a chance. So, and then when we played them here last time, they didn't have a quarterback here. They had kind of a wildcat type thing they were doing, so the quarterback's back, which gives them another threat. I think he can throw the ball and do some things a lot different than they did the first game. So we're going to have to come in, really be focused, and play our game.
What can this quarterback, this new quarterback coming in, what does he do? Does he spread it out a whole lot? Is he a deep thrower? I mean, what does he do to kind of stress us out, Coach?
Yeah, he can throw it deep. He's got a strong arm. They run a lot of hitches out on the edge, and and those kind of things, you if you're not there to make the play, you got to make a tackle, and open field tackles, those things are tough. But the main thing is that, number 20, I think, is one of their better athletes, and he was the quarterback last time. So now they've got a quarterback that can get him the ball in some space and try to cause us some problems.
Yeah. Coach, I think it's one of the more underrated rivalries that we have at this school was Hazard, especially when I played and right after that. I mean, Hazard's always been a big game. With so many games that you've had with Hazard so far, what are some of the past games that really stick out in your head we've had with Hazard, or kind of the big wins that we've had against them that stick out?
Well, I think the biggest win kind of sticks out is 2017 region championship game where we went over there during regular season. They beat us fairly handily, and then we went over in the playoffs and was able to get a win. That was a region championship in a year that people didn't expect a lot out of us. And that's the year Connor Roberts came in and took over as quarterback and
started 1-4 that year.
Yeah.
Ended it at the state semifinals.
Yeah.
And if you'll remember, I sent you a text after that semifinal game. I said, You're not a coach, you're a magician. Because you definitely made one appear out there.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the more memorable ones. And then, you know, you look, and I think sometimes as coaches, you remember the bad games more than remember the good ones. And in 2016, after our state championship year, we beat them in the regular season, and they come down here in the playoffs and knock us out in a region championship game.
And they go on state.
Yeah, they went on state. And then 2000, I wasn't here then, but 2006, I think Pikeville beats them. We beat them 30-some points during the regular season, yeah. And then in the playoffs, they come down and kick a last-second field goal.
That was your freshman year, wasn't it, Joe?
I don't want to talk about it.
But there's a lot of history between our two schools, and you know, we've won some good ones, they've won some, and that's why it's such a good rivalry for us.
Yeah, it really is. You know, they've got a new coach now. You know, Mark Dixon's no longer there. You know, talk about, you know, their new coach and what he kind of likes to do, and you know, the respect he got for him and all that stuff.
I think the number one thing that kind of sticks out to me is that he's kept those guys together. And sometimes, you know, during a crazy year like 2020, when things aren't going well, you know, that gives some people every reason in the world just kind of give up, throw in the towel. But those kids continue to fight and play hard for him, so he's kept them together. And they've got good players. You know, as far as Class A, they've got the biggest front that we'll see all year, and it's offensive and defensively, and they've just got some big kids up there and that match up with us a little better than some of the other teams we've played.
Yeah. The number three Tyson kid, I'm pretty sure that's his name, he's a problem. You know, he's a really good athlete. Talk about the challenges about going up against him and how you are going to try to stop him tomorrow.
Well, he's a fast kid, and I think, you know, we talked today about last year. You know, another example, we beat them pretty handily in the regular season. Well, I mean, we went down there and beat them soundly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, last year at halftime, it's a 14-6 game. And he was, if you remember, we fumbled. He scooped and scored and made it a 7-6 game there early. And we were able to score there in the second quarter. But he's got that big playability. And he can catch the ball well, and causes just problems on defense as well. So I'm sure they'll try to get in his hands, him and Max Johnson, number 20, or you know, two guys that can make things happen.
Yeah.
Also got one of your former assistants here, and Sean Thacker, who's on the Hatcher staff now. I think he's the defensive coordinator over there. So a little bit of added incentive to give Coach Thacker a nice little homecoming.
Yeah.
We love Coach Thacker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always been good to us, and he's a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the boys this week. Have you seen some good things out of practice this week? Focus group, you know, ready to go?
Yeah, I think, you know, and these weeks are always tough because, you know, and just this year has been tough because, of, you know, you normally have a kind of a routine you're in every day, and it was going to school every other day and online, but this week, they don't have any school.
Yeah.
So we tried to get them, you know, try to keep their day as normal as possible, but you want them to enjoy their break as well. So it's been a little bit different, but they've come in each day and practiced well and stayed focused, and I think they know what's at stake, and they're ready to play.
Absolutely. Coach, I don't know if you know anything about this, but I'll ask you anyway. If, you know, with RPI being as crazy as it is, do we have any idea, I mean, how, if we do end up winning this game, who we would play in the region, or is it just wild?
Well, we're fortunate. Nick King's our RPI, our resident RPI expert.
Yeah, we got Nick on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he, so what it looks like, if we're able to get this win Friday, a lot of it's, well, it is going to depend on if the Paintsville Raceland game.
Yeah.
If Raceland wins, then we'll play Raceland here next week.
Mm.
If Paintsville wins, then we will play the winner of Bishop Brossard Nicholas County here next week.
Okay.
So either way, we'll be here next week.
Yes.
So
we might have a rematch with Nicholas County next week.
Yeah.
If we got to get the job done Friday. I ain't taking away. Yeah, this is a big game. But, I mean, you know, this RPI stuff's just driving us crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't help. On KHSAA website, they've got, you know, the bracket. And really, that's the only way they can do it. But it's kind of the old playoff.
Right.
And everybody's saying, well, so if you win, you play Williamsburg next week. And, you know, a couple of years ago, that's the way it would have worked out with RPI. You know, depending higher seeds versus lower seeds, depending on who wins and who moves on.
Yeah. Coach, I think we did a great job last week. Our fans did, of, you know, wearing our mask and staying social distance and stuff like that. You know, can you talk about, you know, how proud you are of our fans and we need to just keep this up? You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think most people understand that it's about the boys and it's not about just coming out and having a big time on Friday night. It's about these guys getting an opportunity, chance to play. And they've done what they've done could do all year, and it's not been easy on them either. But we just encourage them, and I know there's a lot of people in over the holiday break that you know may want to try to come. But the way I understand it is, you know, the players and the participants each got 4 tickets, and there won't be any tickets sold to the general public. So as bad as we hate that, that's the way things have to be right now. And we encourage everybody to stream it online and still support us and. Show some love through our social media stuff. So, just keep it up. And, things, although different, I think they went really well last week.
Yeah. Well, the positive, I guess, you can take out of it is it's good news you got people that want to come to the game, mm-hmm. even though they can't. And, you know, it could be the other way around. So, I think for the most part, people are doing pretty well, even though it stinks. You know, you want to be able to come to the games and support, you know, these guys and you know, get in on the playoff run, you know, and watch them during that time. But, you know, I think people's starting to kind of understand it a little bit better.
Anyway. Yeah, I think so.
Well, you mentioned it last week in your interview with Frosty Davis that, you know, you're trying to get – I know that Zach Lockhart is starting –
An interview with who?
Huh?
An interview with who?
Frosty.
Oh. We don't recognize those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, I'm kidding.
But you mentioned that, you know, we've got Zach involved in the passing game. We, you know, B-Lo had a good game last week. You know, now it's time for, you know, us to get more involved. Wade, do you expect that Wade will play a bigger role this week in the passing game?
I think so. I think, you know, we only went to him once last week, and Isaac, you know, just kind of threw it in the dirt on him. But yeah, we're always looking – at the matchups we have, and depending on what we have, go with our best option. And definitely, because Wade's been doing some good things in practice offensively. So, got to get him involved more. We plan every week to a couple things for each one of those guys, and hopefully, he'll be able to step up tomorrow night.
Yeah,
because he's a natural red zone threat. You know, just because of his length. Yeah. And his athleticism thing. So
he also had a really good game on defense, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He might be our best corner right now, so he's doing a real good job.
And then Hootie, Braden Thomas, had a good game running the ball.
Yeah.
And then Alex Rogers came in. He laid some good blocks out there, had some good runs. Talk about the importance of them coming by, both those guys stepping up in this pivotal time in the playoffs.
Yeah, with Nate having to go out early last week, those guys stepped up. And, Alex was injured a lot early in the year and then had had to miss a few practices for some other things and just hasn't – and he hadn't played football in a couple of years. So he's finally getting into where he's picking a few things more up. And, you know, one thing about it, he's always given us really good effort, pays attention, is well-coached, or takes coaching very well. And he wants to understand what he's doing and he –
And this is the time of the year you're going to need that kid.
Him and Hoodie both. And then, Blake out of the backfield has been good for us, too.
Always.
Yeah, 45 carrying the ball out of the backfield and running over people. That kind of looks familiar.
But last question, Coach. It's Thanksgiving today, and, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. If you would care, just talk to us about what you're most thankful for real quick, and we'll let you go on and get back to business.
Well, that's what we talked at the end of practice today, and a couple of coaches shared what they're thankful for, and it's always good. I know sometimes kids, they don't think about things the way that us adults do, but you try to encourage them to, one of the things I'm most thankful for is my family, my wife and my kids and my brothers and my dad, and and just trying to tell them that, you know, sometimes your parents may seem like, you know, they're not being the way that you want them to be, but they love you, and I encourage them to go home and tell them that they love them and to be thankful for what they have. All of us have been blessed more than we deserve. With my family, my health, this job, these coaches, these players, and this community, I'm blessed beyond measure. And I know that 2020, there's a lot to complain about, but we have a lot to celebrate as well. And I think now is the time that you really got to start looking at those things that we have to celebrate and let people know that we're thankful for them.
Yeah.
Coach, I thought you said you were going to be you were thankful for us.
Yeah, thankful for you guys on the podcast.
No, I'm kidding. I know you. We probably aggravate you more.
I'm very thankful that, I'm very thankful for all those things, Coach. I'm also thankful we're getting to play some football because it wasn't a for sure thing. But I want to say this before this interview is over. Coach, you've done a terrific job keeping everybody up to date with everything, with the COVID stuff and everything. And I'd just like to, if you're going to get to come to the game tomorrow, keep it up. Just wear your mask, stay social distance, do your part. You know, according to, from what everybody's saying, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's just sacrifice a little bit so we can get these boys back to Commonwealth. I still call it Commonwealth. But, wear your mask, stay social distance, and we'll be okay, I think. But thank you very much, Coach, for taking this time out with us today. And
Happy Thanksgiving
to you all. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. And at the end of the day, hail Pikeville.
You did.
I don't know what the name is.